The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 25th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks, as we always do, from the Andersons in Champaign County. In agricultural news, trade groups are debating passage of a 15-billion-gallon renewable fuel standard, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says it would deal a serious blow to the membership. The WTO held a short-notice crisis intervention meeting last Friday, and the CBOT, the Chicago Board of Trade, has more than one suitor. The Merck says it's ours, but the boys and girls in Atlanta say their offer is $1 billion, that's with a B, dollars better than that from the CME. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories a bit later in the program, and then we'll preview USDA's acreage and quarterly grain stocks reports that are due out this Friday morning. U of I Ag economist Daryl Good will join us and share his thoughts. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour on Mondays, we always check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Farm Bureau Building in Gilman, Illinois, for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock Central Time. On the panel, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel from Grainfield Marketing in Bloomington, Illinois, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. That's at the Farm Bureau Building in Gilman tonight at 7 o'clock. No advanced registration is required, and the meeting is free. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $5.89.5, down 2.75 today. September futures down a half at 6.04.5, and December futures were up 2.25 at 6.14.75 for the afternoon. July corn futures down 9.75, $3.57.75 the settlement price. September's at $3.67, down 9.75. And your new crop December corn futures down 7.5 cents. It's $3.74. July soybean futures 8.04.25, up 7.25. August futures up 7 cents at 8.11.5. And November beans settled at 8.38.5. They were up 7.75 for the day. July bean meal at 2.20.10, up 2.70. July bean oil at 35.08. They're up 0.35 for the afternoon. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle 15 cents higher at $108.55 a hundredweight. Live cattle June contract down 30 cents at 87.50, and the August futures were at 40 cents lower today at the end of trade, 89.25, the settlement price there. July lean hogs, 7.5 cents higher at $74.10 a hundredweight. From the outside markets, August crude oil at $69.08 a barrel, down 6 cents for the day. The CRB index at 313.17, down 1.58. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,317. They're down just about 43 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday afternoon, we're joined to take a look at the futures market by Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I'll bet you're tired after a big trading day again today. A lot of volatility in the market, but you've got a trip to make to Gilman tonight, don't you?
Boy, we look forward to that. I've not been at the Gilman area for a little while, but we really enjoy going to these Outlook meetings and be able to visit with everyone listening a little one-on-one and answer your specific questions, and that's sort of the best part of the business. I'm sure they're going to have a bunch of questions for us.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of questions. Can you start out by telling us how things dropped over the weekend? Was it just that we got more rainfall across portions of the Midwest?
That was probably the key fundamental point of view. You know, if you go back to the old school, rain makes grain, and it's definitely going to help the conditions, per se. As far as this afternoon's crop conditions report, we see slight improvement. Now, whether or not the rains perk stuff up enough to give the reporters a reason to increase the good to excellent category, we'll see. But definitely 1 to 3 inch rains. Not everybody received the rains, but those rains are definitely going to help, and that's kind of negative fundamentally. A few days in here is going to give the relief to the crop and help it look better. There's no question about that. And technically, continued fallout. We've saw a massive weekly reversal to the downside on the charts there after posting the highs early last week, and see the market fall the bed throughout the rest of the week there. We've moved below the moving averages to trip some sell programs to kick in. Failed to hold some support levels. It's just one indicator after another sort of kicked in to give reason to sell. Also, too, end of the month, end of the quarter coming up, for those who spend long the market for a while and through here, it's probably reason to step aside with the fundamentals turned just a little negative here and the technicals turned a little negative. So there's several things that sort of kicked in here to give us a defensive posture. The key for the bull in here is to see if we can't get a turnaround Tuesday tomorrow and at least give the market a little stabilization.
And by the time we get to Friday morning to this week, we'll have a quarterly grain stocks report out and an acreage report. And there was some thought, I suppose, and I guess it's dissipated fairly quickly on today's trade, that it might be a little quieter coming into this week and maybe some consolidation as we move through the week. What are your thoughts as we look towards that Friday morning USDA report system?
Yeah, we could see after tomorrow here, we've probably got some margin call liquidation to go through first thing in the morning there in the corn. We'll maybe see something more stable, but volatility continues to be the name of the game here. Once you think things will be quiet, all heck breaks loose, and when you expect some big market movement, it slows down for you. But the main thing, until we get to that report, will probably be weather. I know in the acres report, the trade thought was maybe we'll see a few more corn acres, a few less bean acres, and that's reason being too white corn was down a little bit and beans up some. But as we mentioned before, and we'll pass these out to Gilman, these long-term supply-demand balance charts, you can go to our website at batescom.net and get those also. When you move yield up and down a little bit, it moves the bottom line, then more than what acreage does. You move acreage up, down 1-2 million acres, that's a lot, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the more bang for your dollar, the big move is what you put in for yield. And print out those supply-demand balance sheets and tinker a little bit, you'd be really surprised the impact that yield has on. And that's why the weather forecast is going to be the dominant factor, and the weathermen are going to have the lion's share of their work cut out here.
Yeah, so the question really is how much damage, if any, was done to the crop in the previous dry time, and how much rainfall will it take and how often to get it back into shape for the harvest season, isn't it?
Very well put, yes. And that's a tough one because your lighter areas, as far as soil goes, they did receive some significant damage in some of those areas, whereas your darker soils in areas that caught some rains, they're still in pretty good shape. So that's the conditions reports are going to be very important, and upcoming moisture too. Just because we got some rain here this last week doesn't mean we're completely out of the woods just yet either.
And what did you make of the upsurge in the bean market today? What did that come on?
Well, good question. It's surprising to me to see that divergence between the corn and the beans and the wheat, with beans taking off leadership, especially with palm oil slightly overnight. But
mm-hmm.
We saw the products work together for a change. We had the meal and oil both up. I think that spilled in and over into the beans. Also, two ideas that maybe the bean acres might be a little bit lower on Friday's report. Then once all said and done, I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of bean business announced here sometime this week. Basis levels did firm direction of the market. You know, go back to Econ 101, Grain Marketing 101. You know, these price breaks in here, the market probably found some demand here. So I think those several things all kicked in place in here to give the market some stabilization in the bean sector.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region, in the central and southern parts of Indiana, mostly cloudy, elsewhere partly cloudy. Areas of some patchy fog will develop overnight. Lows will range from 65 in eastern Indiana to 74 in the Chicago area. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, scattered thunderstorms developing during the afternoon, mainly in the southern sections. Highs between 86 and 92. David Dickey's now here now with a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana.
In agricultural news, trade groups continue to debate Senate passage of a renewable fuels standard for grain-based ethanol of 15 billion gallons by 2015 and an all-renewable fuel standard of 36 billion gallons by 2022. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says a 15-billion-gallon mandate would deal a serious blow to cattle producers. But the National Corn Growers Association applauded the legislation. NCGA says the legislation supports the organization's vision of raising a 15-billion-bushel corn crop by 2015, enough corn to satisfy the renewable fuel mandate and the livestock industry. The House is expected to take up the RFS in the fall. The Senate-approved energy package would also set penalties for price gouging and would give the government new authority to investigate oil company pricing. The measure would also provide grants and loan guarantees to promote research into fuel-efficient vehicles. The World Trade Organization's top negotiating body held an emergency crisis session Friday after world trade talks between G4 nations, the U.S., India, Brazil, and the European Union collapsed. Meanwhile, Brazil's foreign minister said last week's truncated meeting is the end of G4, and any progress toward a world trade deal must now occur on the multilateral level. Meanwhile, a high-level India trade official who did not wish to be identified said the Doha round now, in his words, needs a miracle. But U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is not as pessimistic.
It may be that the G4 process is not going to get us there, and that certainly appears to be the case. But next stop, Geneva. We have meetings that we will set up there where we will continue working with developed and developing countries alike with the negotiating chairs, and we'll find another way to get this done. And yes, it can still be done this year.
The U.S. says it still plans on submitting a draft proposal for bridging differences on farm and industrial goods of the G4 as originally planned by the end of this week. And Atlanta-based Intercontinental Exchange has increased efforts to acquire the Chicago Board of Trade. ICE says its offer is at least $1 billion better than that offered by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And ICE Chief Executive Jeffrey Spreacher, in a letter to COB shareholders, wrote, "Accepting CME's bid amounts to a bargain basement sale." And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, Friday morning, USDA will release its latest estimate of crop acreage in the United States and its quarterly grain stocks report. We'll preview those reports with University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. Friday is a big day in the world of row crop agriculture. USDA will provide the nation with its second look at the 2007 crop acreage estimates for corn and soybeans. The first estimate came at the end of March and was a very rough look at what farmers planned to put in the ground this season. In fact, that planting intentions report, says University of Illinois Ag Economist Daryl Good, showed U.S. farmers had increased acreage for all crops, including hay, by about 5 million acres. He'll be looking for those 5 million acres in the Friday, June 29 USDA report.
The first thing we're going to do when we get the June report is see if we still have those 5 million acres. Then secondly, we'll look at individual crops and compare those to intentions. Most focus will be on corn and soybeans. Intentions for corn at 90.45 million, up 15%. Soybeans at 67.14. It's down 11% from last year. So we've heard reports, you know, here and there that in places it got too wet or too dry and farmers quit planting. We know we lost some wheat to some freeze damage. Did that get replanted to what? So those kind of questions kind of cloud expectations for the report.
Daryl Good says while weather and price have clouded expectations, shifted what the trade thought farmers were actually planting, he thinks the total acreage sown to both crops, corn and soybeans, will actually drop just a bit.
I don't look for a big switch between corn and soybeans. I went back and reviewed the planting progress numbers on corn, and it appeared to me in almost every state we had pretty timely planting. There was a little corn price weakness right in the middle of the planting season, and a modest strength in soybeans. Did that influence intentions? It was pretty short-lived. I doubt that it had a big impact on actual planting decisions. So bottom line, maybe expect a bit smaller number on both corn and soybeans. Will it be significant? Not likely, but that's the purpose of the reports, and occasionally we get some surprises there.
USDA will release the acreage figures at 7:30 a.m. Central Time Friday morning, June the 29th. It will also release the latest quarterly grain stocks report on that morning. Good says as that report approaches, the trade tries to anticipate what the numbers will bear out.
That's complicated for a couple reasons. One, we don't have full information about how much usage was during the previous quarter. On exports, the Census Bureau numbers are only available through April at this point, so we don't have the May numbers. We do have USDA numbers that hopefully are close to the export numbers from the Census Bureau. In the way of soybean crush, again, we don't have the May numbers yet going into this report. So we're not completely sure how big consumption was in those categories. And then for corn feeding, that is completely a residual number. There's no ongoing measure there. So what we do is we do a combination of saying, what do we know about consumption through the period that we have numbers? And then I always put it in a context of if the USDA's projection about feed use is correct, then we can use a kind of a typical seasonal pattern and say what should have feed consumption been during the quarter, and if it was as it should have been, what will the stocks number be?
Good says he puts the number in that context in order to have a good pre-estimate of the report, and that's in order to determine whether or not the actual release is a surprise.
And when I do that on corn, it appears to me that the June 1 inventory should have been fairly close to 3.4 billion bushels. Soybeans right at 1.07 billion. So if we're significantly different from those numbers, then I think the market will react.
Good uses last year's report as an example of that type of estimate. The corn on hand pre-estimate was about 100 million bushels more than USDA's actual figure. It caused the agency to raise its projected feed use for the year. So Daryl Good says the report, in his mind, is not a matter of guessing what the stocks on hand for corn and soybeans will be or were as of June 1st, but rather what they should be. It's a small distinction, but when done properly, helps to gauge market reaction. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Afternoon, Todd.
What'd you make of the big trade in Chicago today? Yeah, a little bit of spreading, I suppose, of some sort, with the beans up, the corn down.
Correct. Corn continues its slide after last week's peak Sunday night, and the beans look like they're taking a little bit of a bounce, possibly some shorts taking a little profit and buying back in.
And then farmers talking to you much about sales at this point? Are they satisfied that they've got enough on the books or satisfied that they don't want to make sales? I suppose might be the better way to put it. What are they telling you?
Well, I'd say the theme of the day is I wish I would have sold more last week since we got all this rain this weekend. last week and before we had rain, it was certainly difficult to sell bushels that you were unsure of having, and crops not made by any means, but certainly looks a lot better today. So that's the market's job, is to try to trick everyone into not selling when maybe they should be. So big picture, it looks like people are holding off today and are going to see if we can take some sort of a bounce off this corn market.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this just a little bit. How many bushels do farmers think on their corn crop that they put back onto the corn crop, I guess, with the rainfall? 20, 25?
It depends on the individual. It depends how far along the corn is. There's corn that's showing tassels today. It's not dropping pollen yet, but there's corn showing tassels in Champaign County, and there's also some that are still three leaves and more away. So it's up to the individual. It depends on how far along your corn crop is and what type of soil it's sitting on, because I don't know that the rain can, you can't definitely say. I do think that some of the top end has probably been taken out of the corn, but doesn't mean we can't have very good yields anyway.
I suppose if you wanted to look at it as glass half full, or and rather than saying opportunity loss, that if the market did its job properly, it was a swap out, which would equal dollars at one point or another when you dropped the price, but you picked up bushels in the bin, right?
That's right. And the good thing on the producer side is you've got bin bushels. You've got bushels that can stay in DP at the elevator, and my bias is I would rather take the bushels. We've still got historically good values. We're still higher than we were last year at this time. And if you've got the bushels to sell, then that's worth more than high-priced corn.
And speaking of bushels to sell, why is it that the beans managed a 7-cent gain today?
Well, I'd say there's a couple factors at work. The late summer weather is still up in the air. If we have a dry August, the bean crop could be short, and with potentially less bean acres. Well, we know there's less bean acres, rather. With less bean acres out there, the supplies could get tight going into next year. The other thing is beans dropped pretty hard along with the corn last week, and looked like it could be a time just to buy in, or like I said before, people that had shorted the market a week ago are covering that today and added a little bounce.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn, 358. Fall delivery, 349. Cash beans are 774. And fall 803.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Wyatt Muse. He's with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. More preliminary charges have been filed against a Champaign man who allegedly fired several gunshots at people, including police, during a two-hour crime spree last night. 32-year-old Toriano Johnson surrendered after holding police at bay inside a northwest Champaign house with two children inside. He's accused of earlier shooting at two women inside an Urbana apartment, hijacking a car on the south end of the U of I campus, and then leading police on a chase that ended at the Hedge Courthouse, where he kept police at bay. The head of the U of I's Police Training Institute says that incident and last week's hostage situation in Arcola were generally successfully handled. Tom Dempsey says police have to make quick decisions about the immediate danger and determine if they can take more time to talk to a barricaded suspect and get him out with no injury. A former FBI agent today testified that Chicago's mobsters engage in bookmaking, loan sharking, and extortion to make money and ruthlessly murder those who might become witnesses against them. James Wagner is now the president of the Chicago Crime Commission, and he took the stand today at the city's biggest mob trial in years. On trial are three alleged leaders of the so-called Chicago outfit. They're charged along with two other men with conspiring to murder federal witnesses and others. All have pleaded not guilty. Today, Wagner testified about the Chicago mob's operations. He contends that borrowers who fail to pay from loan sharks pay their loan sharks are at first threatened, but he says ultimately their true collateral is their body, and they understand that. A new internet database launched by the state of Illinois will let communities track convicted methamphetamine makers. The Methamphetamine Manufacturer Registry, launched over the weekend, includes the convicted person's name, date of birth, and the county where the crime occurred. Friday is the one-year anniversary of the lease of the Indiana Toll Road to a private company. Supporters like Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels are still convinced that the deal was a sound economic investment. Opponents like House Speaker Patrick Bauer say the money for road projects will last no more than 10 years. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined on this Monday afternoon by meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. And Mark, the big news is the rain last week and then again over the weekend. A lot of rain in some places over the weekend, I gather.
Yeah, well, overall for the Corn Belt, at least what came in here over the weekend, late last week, came in at about 65% of the entire corn acreage, receiving amounts ranging from general 0.3 to 1.5, with some localized of 2 to even 3-inch amounts. And really the big winner was the acreage in eastern Iowa and western Illinois, where numerous acreage received over 2 inches in that zone. And obviously that's impacted soil moisture reserves significantly, especially in areas of Illinois, which obviously was running quite dry up to the middle portion of last week.
Well, rain does make grain, but it has to continue to come. What do we see for the coming week?
Well, for the coming week, Todd, we see that the jet stream reconfiguring into more of a northwest flow pattern. So as a result, actually the northern half of the Midwest will receive actually below normal rainfall, while the southern half of the Midwest receives kind of near normal rainfall. And what will occur here is that these frontal systems will push south and eastward and tend to stagnate over the southern portion of the Midwest. So that's really where the focus of rain will be over the next week's time frame. It's really for the acreage south of I-80.
And then south of I-80, what can the expectations be like in the percentage of coverage and then rainfall amounts?
Well, overall for this week, from now through next Sunday, we expect around 65 to 70% of the southern Midwest receiving amounts ranging from 0.3 to 1.5.
Well, that's a pretty good sizable amount of rain across that area, and that's coming right into the key pollination area time frame for a good portion of the crop.
Right, Todd. At least a portion of the corn crop will be pollinating here during the early portion of July, and with this rainfall, certainly that will benefit pollination, especially for those southern areas of the Midwest.
We don't like heat or a lot of heat during that time frame. Temperatures will be moderate?
We do see temperatures running above average. No sign of any long-duration extreme heat, at least over the next week to 10 days. But actually today on into more so tomorrow and some areas of the southern belt on Wednesday, we do see at least, you know, high temperatures climbing into the 90s, some areas climbing into, you know, the western belt climbing up into the mid to upper 90s here. But we need to watch the pattern here coming up, especially once we get into July, just any sign of the ridge of high pressure here becoming established or at least moving into the Midwest. That's the focus of attention here. And at least for these last few days of June and into early July, we don't see the pattern setting up where the ridge sits exactly over the belt for a long duration period.
Check in on the Chinese corn crop for me.
Well, it looks like that area will be improving here, especially for that northeastern China here, Heilongjiang, Jilin, and Liaoning provinces. The pattern here later on this week is just more favorable for rain development across that area. So that will improve soil moisture. It's not a situation where dryness concerns will be totally eliminated, but certainly some improvement is expected with the opportunity for rainfall.
We appreciate you being with us.
Well, my pleasure, Todd.
Many thanks much. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you get the opportunity, be sure to join Dave Dickey and company up in Gilman, Illinois. I believe that's at the Farm Bureau at 7 o'clock this evening for one of our WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook panels. And we wish you a good afternoon. Be careful out there and have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.